in Ol Chol HaMoed, discussing a little bit about the laws of the Lulav, which we discussed a little bit a couple of days ago over Yom Tov. Question whether or not a person really needs to purchase their own Lulav and Esrog. Now, you already purchased it, so I can debate this question now. And the question specifically is during this time of year, this particular year, that the first day of Sukkot was on Shabbos, in which the lulav was not taken. So the halacha states, the Mechaber tells us, that ein adam yotzi rechavaso biyom rishon b'lulav shel chavera. A person cannot fulfill their obligation by borrowing their friend's lulav, specifically biyom rishon, on the first day. And we discussed at length on the first day of Sukkot about in the Chutz La'aretz, in the diaspora where we live in, really, in the days of the Beis Mikdash, the lulav was only taken one day anyway. As the Pasuk says, it's biyom rishon. We only take it for all 7 days, zecher l'mikdash. And that we should remember how it was done in the days of the Beis Mikdash in the Mikdash. And therefore we take it for 7 days. But really, the mitzvah is only one day. And therefore, to own and to have your own lulav, it's only for the first day. And even if you would want to borrow it from someone, which means I'm borrowing it, which means even when I'm using it, it's not mine, that's an issue. Why? Dibi'inan lechem mishulchem. Because the Pasuk says, lechachta lechem, you have to take it for yourself. Which implies that you yourself have to be the owner of the lulav and esrog. So the problem, therefore, is in a community, which is almost in every community, there are many people that do not have the lulav and esrog. And therefore, what we do is we have an extra lulav floating around, which perhaps the shul owns, or maybe you're nice enough to lend it to someone. Clearly, in halacha, that's insufficient on the first day. Now, this year, perhaps wasn't an issue at all. Maybe no one needed to own a lulav, because after all, the first day we couldn't take the lulav anyway because it was Shabbos. We'll get to that in a moment. However, there is a way around it, which is actually, we'll see, interestingly enough, it's learned out from the laws of marriage, of Kedushin, that it states later on in the halacha, Nostalo menasal hachziro harizei yotzedei chavaso umachziro. The law is that you can't say, here, borrow it, but in fact, you can give it your lulav as a matana, as a gift, al menasal hachzir, on condition that you're going to give it back to me in a few minutes. So therefore, in this situation, when you're shaking the lulav, it's considered to be yours. Even though, in fact, the whole condition is, it's only al menasal hachzir that I have to give it back, but at least for the few moments that I have this lulav in my hands, halachically it's considered to be lechem. It's considered to be yours. And therefore, in a situation, on the first day, if a person doesn't have a lulav, what we do is we give it to them as a matana, Al-Manasal Hachzer is a gift on condition that they return it. And on this, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the words of the Magen Avraham and says that this is actually learned out, the Shoel, that what happens if you don't do this? What happens if you don't make this condition? You don't say these fancy Hebrew words, I'm giving this to you as a matana, as a gift, Al-Manasal Hachzer, on condition you give it back. Apparently, it's only, we don't say this, if there's some shuls, there's a whole line of people that shake the community lulav. We don't say to each person this declaration. So it's brought down in the Magen Avraham, the Shoel, Kli Mechavero, let's say in a situation, let's say you borrow literally a vessel, you borrow, let's say, a ring from your friend, L'kadosh bo isha, because you're interested, you went on a couple of dates, and you say, you know what, might as well, it's time for me to get married. So you don't have, unfortunately, you don't have any money on you, you don't have any ring, so you borrow it from your friend, that halakhically we say, Damrinan Shehimu Kadeshes, that in fact it's a good marriage, they're betrothed, rather. Mishum Damrinan Mistama Nasanul Bamatana Al Manasal Hachzer, Shehiyochal Kadeshbo. That we say that when you gave it, even though it was really borrowed, but the person you borrowed it from would obviously want this Kedushin to have some validity, and therefore, even though you only borrowed it, but the person gave it to you, it'll be considered as though they really gave it to you as a gift on condition you get it back. Of course, the girl probably won't be so happy when you say, okay, now, can I have the ring back now? But nonetheless, it is considered halakhically a valid betrothal. It's a valid kedushin. Im kein, says the Magen Avraham, which perhaps you can wonder if this is a quantum leap or a valid connection, hu adin be'esrog. So too it comes to the sheikh and the lulav and esrog. Im hishul latseispo, if a person borrows your lulav, and obviously they're borrowing it because they want to fulfill the mitzvah with it. Says the Magen Avraham, even though he didn't make such a stipulation, it says, though you actually did so, and therefore a person will fulfill the obligation by using it because it's considered like a gift on conditions return. Now, jumping to another halacha, which really is connected to this, it says, lo yitnenu biyom rishon l'katan. If, let's say, you're generous, you have a lulav v'esrog, unfortunately, your grandchild who's sitting right next to you obviously doesn't have, except for those stuffed ones, right? The ones which you can buy a little plush toy one. And that's obviously not good enough. So you say, you know what? I might as well let my grandson or my kid shake the lulav v'esrog. Halacha says that's an issue. Lo yitnenu biyom rishon l'katan. Do not give that lulav v'esrog to the child. Kodem shatzibo. Before you used it first. Why? Why do you have to selfishly use it first? Kind of like in the airplanes, they say, first put the airbag on yourself, then worry about the kid, worry about yourself first. Why is that so when it comes to shaking the lulav? Vimnesha katan kone de'enu machna l'cherim min haTorah. That halachically, the way things work with a child is they acquire things, but they do not have the ability to give things back. And we also know this psychologically. Anyone who's hung out with a kid for more than a few minutes knows kids are more than happy to take something, but to give it back, that's not so easy. And therefore, if you gave the lulav an esrog, even on condition that it should be returned, even though it was based on only to borrow it, in the child's mind, whenever they receive something, it's theirs and it's theirs to keep forever. And therefore, if you gave this little child your lulav an esrog, it's no longer lechem. It's no longer yours. What do you mean? I wrote a check. I spent $60, $80 for this lulav v'esrog. Doesn't matter. The second you give it to a child, it's considered theirs, and therefore you have now lost the opportunity of lechem.
What happens if you have an adult like that? Your people are just
well, maybe we do know adults like that, but halachically, we hope that they also give too. But
he wouldn't be able to. He doesn't finish the time.
Oh, he has to give it. Right. If he doesn't give it back... Correct, he does, but the question is...
He doesn't fulfill the condition.
He doesn't fulfill the condition. Unfortunately, worse off for you, you don't have your lulav anymore. He ran off to another town with your lulav, right? Right. Well, that's the idea. If he doesn't give it back, he doesn't fulfill his obligation. It has to be given back. But a child, even if he does give it back... in his mind, we say halachically, it's that as though the child is saying, "Here, you can borrow my lulav v'esrog, even though you owned it." That's how it works. And I just want to conclude with one line over here, which is a little bit of a curveball. Had to throw that in because of the Yankees. It says over here, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, "Biyom Rishon," when it says, "Don't give it to this child on the first day," which, by the way, also means on this Congo line in the shul, if you have people that do not own the lulav v'esrog and they're shaking the lulav v'esrog, and you see a kid in the middle of the line, you say, "Kid," well, maybe in the good old days you used to do that. You have to tell the child, "Get to the end of the line," because the second the child picks up that lulav v'esrog, everyone behind him can no longer use it. So therefore, any child that shakes the lulav v'esrog has to be the last one. However, the Mishnah Berurah concludes and says like this, "V'hu adin l'didan," it also applies for us, who are us, those who live out of Israel, "de'osin shnei yamim," that have 2 days of sukkahs, which implies that the idea of lechem is not just on the first day of sukkahs. Well, it is only on the first day of sukkahs, but because we live in a community outside of Israel, and we keep 2 days of Yom Tov, halachically, the halachic status of the second day is like the first, and therefore, Unfortunately, we did in fact have to have an on our own lavim, not for the first day of Sukkot, but for the second day of Sukkot, the second day of Yom Tov, which we did shake the lavim esrog. Also says in the Mishnah Berurah, it's necessary, has to be lachem, has to be yours, and therefore should not be given to a child, because then it'll no longer have been yours. We'll stop here. Kaddish.